So we've reached the last chapter. What an achievement. The textbook's final 18th chapter, Fruitage. The note of actual proof through healing that what the book itself teaches is true. Now, on this tape, we won't attempt to read the actual testimonials of healing that make up this chapter, but we'll just touch on what we feel is the chapter's overriding spiritual import. Because let's always remember that when we're aware of genuine Christian Science healing, this is the veritable, visible appearing of Emmanuel, God with us here and now. Healing, the very form which the proof takes that God alone is present and is all, and that evil in consequence is a mere negation, an hypnotic suggestion that something is present and is real which couldn't possibly, in truth, or from God's point of view, have either presence or reality. Now, do we know that this particular chapter wasn't in the book at all until the time of the 226th edition in 1902? At which time many other wonderful things were appearing simultaneously. For instance, in this 226th edition, the order of the first 16 chapters was radically changed from what it had been before, and the chapters for the first time were accorded their final four-square order and structure. Glossary became the 17th chapter, and the 18th and last, this entirely new chapter, Fruitage. As the contents page shows, the key to the scriptures was from this point onwards made up of the four chapters, Genesis, the Apocalypse, Glossary, and Fruitage, clearly representing once more the four sides of the Holy City, Word, Christ, Christianity, Science. Fruitage, corresponding to science. Isn't that lovely? Thrilling, isn't it, that at the same time in this 226th edition, the capitalized term love began to be added to many of those references to divine principle where before this term had stood alone. That's to say, in the years that followed, the text was made to abound with references to divine principle love, the highest definition of God in the book. And not only that, another wonderful coincidence was that the term mother began to be added to father in many of those now familiar hyphenated father-mother references. Isn't that significant? Making Fruitage simultaneous with an increasing emphasis on the fact that the divine principle is love, and therefore that God as Father is inseparable from God as Mother. Very, very significant. But the most far-reaching development of all was that the first 16 chapters, from prayer to the apocalypse, now pattern the workings of the holy four-square city of Revelation 21, which in Galatians 4 Paul describes in terms with which we are now so familiar, namely as the mother of us all. This means to say that in its final elucidation of the great mother principle as love, the textbook had, by the year 1902, become the formative, fruit-bearing matrix or womb of man's spiritual and scientific education, or the means whereby human identity is molded divinely in the image and likeness of God, and the human concept thereby healed. Ideally, outside mothering, as by an organized mother church, could at this point be dispensed with. And hence the inclusion by this time in the church manual of the now famous estoppel clauses, which made it spiritually illegal for the mother aspect of the Christian Science Church to continue to function once Mrs. Eddy's authority was no longer available. So no wonder a chapter had to be added on the subject of fruitage. Because what really are fruits but the outpouring of a maternal matrix or womb? Once the Christian Scientist has made the textbook's teaching his own subjectively, he looks for fruitage to come to him divinely from within his own being and not humanly from outside. And just think of this also. The year 1902 marked the beginnings of the sixth evolutionary stage in the textbook's development that corresponded in meaning with the sixth day of creation in the order of divine revelation. The day of man made in the image of God. Man in the divinely generic sense, who has dominion over all the earth, including, of course, dominion over all error, sin, disease, and death. Because we know, don't we, that this man, as the spiritual identity of the human race as a whole, is featured in the apocalypse by the God-crowned woman in heaven who births on earth a man-child, destined, as Science and Health puts it, to rule all nations and peoples imperatively, absolutely, finally, with divine science. Think of it. The woman, generic man, the spiritual idea of God, the spiritual self-birthing reality of the human race. Isn't that colossal? So just recall also how, only the previous year, at the turn of the century in 1901, Mrs. Eddy had publicly nominated man, the generic term for mankind, as her successor as leader of the Christian Science movement. Man under God, spiritually self-governed, spiritually self-led, spiritually fruit-bearing from within himself, her only legitimate successor in leadership. So awe-inspiring are these correlations when we really begin to think about them. That we couldn't doubt, could we, that they were God-determined, God-inspired, and couldn't possibly have been humanly thought up or contrived. So lastly then, let's focus our thought on fruitage. Let's think of ourselves, shall we, as saying at the end of the Apocalypse chapter, the point from which we encompass the glossary and arrive at this 18th chapter, let's think of ourselves as saying, because the divine mother love, in the 23rd Psalm, is our shepherd, we do not, cannot, want any more for fruitage. You see, by the time the Genesis and the Apocalypse reach their conclusion, there on page 578, with the final translation of Jehovah, that is the Lord, in the 23rd Psalm, out of Adamic anthropomorphism, or God in the form of man, into divine love, where man is found in the form of God. At that point, the purpose of the two chapters is fulfilled, in that they are one in spiritual wedlock, and therefore divinely fruit-bearing. Because this being so, they point to an even bigger aspect of unity and wedlock, that of the Bible and science and health themselves. And therefore it is that Mrs. Eddy wrote concerning the shepherd or pastor of the 23rd Psalm, your dual and impersonal pastor, the Bible, and science and health with key to the scriptures, is with you and is the great shepherd that feedeth my flock and leadeth them beside the still waters. Remember in the psalm how the shepherd leadeth me beside the still waters. Well, this union of the two textbooks, implicit therefore at the end of the Apocalypse, is then, in terms of the glossary, represented as unlocking the full range of the scriptures, signified, of course, by the glossary selection of Bible names and terms, and therefore as having fully revealed the spiritual origin of man. Because no statement regarding the scriptures is of greater import or of more basic significance, is it, than the one given on Science and Health 534, line 7, where it says that in their true sense, that is, as interpreted by science and health, as interpreted by science and health, they reveal the spiritual origin of man. Because the result, as the order of the chapter shows, is spontaneous, instantaneous fruitage, emanating solely from God as man's one divine source or origin, and represented by the fullness of the word of the Christian Science textbook. Because we must never forget, must we, that the healings listed in this final chapter are purely the result of science and health speaking directly to the receptive human consciousness without the aid of outside practitioners or teachers or anything like that. This is the vital factor to appreciate, isn't it? The healer is God's own divine word, science and health itself. As Mrs. Eddy once said to students regarding science and health, it is the voice of your Father speaking to you. Do we remember that? So whereas, in the idiom of Revelation, the Bible, like the chapter Genesis, accentuates the work of the Lamb of God, represented by Jesus in accordance with the meaning of the 7 days of creation that open the Bible, science and health, like the chapter the Apocalypse, accentuates the bride, the Lamb's wife, in accordance with the meaning of the city four square that closes the Bible. Because in this all-inclusive mother city unfolded by science and health, Lamb and Bride, God and man, manhood and womanhood, are one in spiritual wedlock. And therefore it is that science and health, as the spiritual and original meaning of the Bible, becomes to us the birth-giving, fruit-bearing matrix of divine healing, love, and so typifies the source of our own true being. So that studying and pondering science and health from beginning to end, with honest devotion, as the book itself bids us do, and as this particular chapter-by-chapter study of ours, now at its close, has sought to do all the way along, this is, according to the collection of healing testimonials that make up the book's final chapter, the means of our reaping unlimited fruitage and healing. Fruit is gathered, that is to say, of the unity of God and man, manhood and womanhood, typified by the wedding of the Bible and science and health, and brought to a focus in Genesis and the Apocalypse. It's profoundly essential, therefore, that we take into account this final 18th chapter, isn't it? And recognize the indispensable part it plays in concluding the book as a whole. The carnal mind would dearly love us to ignore it, in the belief that it's not really part of the book itself. But to do this would obviously be to disobey the principle upon which the book is based. So then, page 100, page 600. Mrs. Eddy insisted that the chapter be 100 pages long in order that the book itself should occupy precisely 700 pages. Well, as we found, didn't we, in our study, it's both inspiring and uplifting for spiritual sense, lovingly to read the 84 testimonies of healing through from beginning to end. And as you do so, try to feel from what they say the living presence, the healing presence of God with us now, because this clearly is what it's their purpose to convey. Because without this inclusion of proof that what the preceding 17 chapters have taught is true, without, as it were, this feedback to principle of proof on the part of humanity itself, the book would not be scientifically fulfilled, and indeed might not be teaching the unfailing scientific life principle which it says it is teaching. But here, with the final chapter, is proof positive that an impersonal universal principle is at work through a revealed science whose recorded or written word, science and health, is one with the presence and power of the principle or the divine word itself, which is thereby instantly and unrestrictedly available to unprejudiced, truth-seeking thought. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them, says the first of the three Bible texts on which the chapter is based. Just as we had it, didn't we, at the end of recapitulation, you remember. Your fruits will prove what the understanding of God, the understanding of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love, in eternal operation as the Word, Christ, Christianity, science, brings to man. And therefore the need, interestingly enough, as in the first definition in the glossary, the definition of able, to surrender to the one Creator God the early fruits of our experience. Remember Abel, watchfulness, self-offering, surrendering to the Creator the early fruits of experience. In other words, we acknowledge that the fruits which divine love gives to us as our fruits really belong to and are the fruits of our God. Remember in the Apocalypse chapter how our God-bestowed city has to be seen to be the city of our God. So with fruitage. As Jesus says of his own Christ identity, that which comes from the Father returns to the Father in fulfillment of the Father's healing, world-saving purpose in first sending it forth. Then the second quote, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge, that is, in the science of God. And Paul, in that particular epistle, then goes on to tell us how God hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Always basically it's translation that's at work, isn't it? Translation, to human sense, from mortality to immortality, or from death to life. His dear Son, Paul says, who is the image of the invisible God, and the firstborn of every creature. The invisible God, then, in relation to every visible creature. Think of what the birth-giving woman in the Apocalypse really stands for. That which is born of every creature, that is, of man in the spiritually generic sense, the woman, is by reason of his steadfast union with God, the reality of all mankind as the Son of God, every whit whole. Because the word whit, as we know, is from the same root as the word creature. Thou art made whole. That's the way you are made. I have made a man every whit whole, says Jesus. Correspondingly, science and health, in the wholeness of its spiritual meaning, makes us every whit whole. That's to say, the four-square matrix of the motherhood of God, which is what the book represents, molds us divinely in the image of God, and so heals us humanly. Then the third quote, from the Song of Solomon, or what is called the Song of Songs. Well, this is just what man is in the generic sense, isn't he? One great universal song of praise and thanksgiving to God, made up of an infinitude of individual songs. Remember Mrs. Eddy's poem written in 1910 under the title of Extempore, meaning out of time. Very near the end of her mission, she wrote, "Give us not only angel songs, but science vast, to which belongs the tongue of angels and the song of songs." So the Song of Solomon, symbolically a love poem, isn't it? About the marriage of a bridegroom to his bride, the Lamb, and the bride, the Lamb's wife. And the fruits, of course, that are the outcome of their spiritual wedlock. Think of that lovely story at the opening of the practice chapter, the chapter that has specifically to do with the fruits of healing, namely the relationship of Jesus to the Magdalene, typifying this wedding of the bridegroom to the bride, the individual wedded to his sinless, God-created world as the basis of all true healing. And therefore we read in the song, "Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field." The Christian Science field? Then, as quoted at the beginning of the chapter, "Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us surrender to the Creator the early fruits of our experience. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grapes appear and the pomegranates bud forth." This is the bride, spiritual womanhood, speaking. And she goes on, "There will I give thee of my love. There will I, the church, the body, be one with Christ, the head of the body. And together we will bring forth the fruits of love, casting out error and healing the sick," as we had it in the quote a few minutes ago. Because these, of course, are the fruits that come from that state of wedlock demanded at the end of the Apocalypse chapter, where male and female, you remember, are no longer two wedded individuals, but two individual natures in one. And this compounded spiritual individuality reflects God as Father, Mother, not as a corporeal being. And this oneness of God and man and woman, is clearly the wedlock which heals, or, on page 577, line 5, destroys forever the physical plagues imposed by material sense. imposed, that is, by the sense of man separated from God, primarily, and woman separated from man, secondarily. Me here, you there, subject and object, two instead of one, maintaining an incessant state of I want. I want to possess for myself personally what appears to me to be objective or over there. But when the individual no longer wants in this way, because through Genesis, the Apocalypse, and Glossary, he's reached the point of fruitage, then as the 84 letters of fruitage show, the divine word of the textbook as a whole heals him of his sins and diseases. Therefore, in the introductory note on page 600, the reference in the first paragraph to the vast number of people who've been reformed and healed simply through the perusal and study of this book. Perusal, according to the dictionary, careful reading. To go through a series dealing with each unit, in our own case, each chapter in order, do you think? To inspect in detail, to read carefully and critically. And the word study. Application of the mind, profound thought and meditation, pondering, to read and examine so as to understand. Well, haven't we been seeking to do just that all the way through this present study of the textbook series of chapters? In fact, our entire endeavor, we could say, has been to obey the injunction in Revelation 10 to take the little book, take it, and eat it up. Which, says the book itself, means read this book from beginning to end. Study it, ponder it. Study and ponder it. Individually and together, in order to be the one whole, healthy body of its divine principle, love. And the word ponder, careful weighing so that nothing important escapes the attention. Well, that's nice, isn't it? Because hopefully we've been obeying that one too. So to sum up very briefly, now that we've reached the conclusion of this work, Science and Health, the Christian Science textbook, stands, doesn't it, for the universal body of principle. The voice of truth itself, the word of God, voiced by the woman in the Apocalypse, generic man, which is all of us together, individually and collectively, not broken up into schisms and personal followings, but all of us together, constituting the one whom God has appointed to voice his word, as we find it in the teaching on page 560. In the words of Jesus, the one whom the Father hath sent into the world, in proof of the fact that God's Spirit is all in all, and therefore that matter and evil are naught. Not our coming together humanly, but our coming forth together divinely, and therefore not liable to acrimonious and self-destroying schisms. And she, the woman, us as generic man, brought forth a man child. This womanhood of God, individualized and exemplified so fully and so faithfully by Mary Baker Eddy, that her identity is recognized as none other than that of the woman in the Apocalypse. She brought forth a man-child whose form, as far as the student of Christian Science is concerned, is the Christian Science textbook Science and Health, with its key to the spiritual origin of man. As Mrs. Eddy always insisted, it's God himself who is really the book's author, isn't it? Remember in Miscellany 115, I should blush to write of Science and Health with key to the Scriptures as I have, were it of human origin, or were I, apart from God, its author. But as I was only a scribe, echoing the harmonies of heaven in divine metaphysics, I cannot be supermodest in my estimate of the Christian Science textbook. The glorious fact is, therefore, that at the deepest spiritual and scientific level, generic man, the voice of God, the spiritual reality of the human race as a whole, of whom the God-crowned woman is the symbol, is really the one who has brought forth this man-child, or this son of man, by reason of his forever union with the divine principle God, generic man, the woman, has brought to the world the teachings of Science and Health, thereby proclaiming his reality as the Son of God. So let's always remember how Mrs. Eddy once said to her followers, when we work together as one, it will be seen as the Son of God. Isn't that tremendous? When we work together as one, it will be seen as the Son of God. And therefore we, man, knowing that in truth we are the faithful God embodiment, must bring forth increasingly from within our own unity in God, our individual and collective health and wholeness as the healing example for the world itself, in the now imminent seventh millennium of the history of civilization. Because it's in this seventh millennium, isn't it, that civilization finds itself to be the universal city of world peace, in the words of Revelation, coming down from God out of heaven. The disrupted and corrupted sense of the world, caused to conform to and pattern the one Christ body, and therefore to rid itself of all the disorders, inflammations, pains, tensions, deformities, and diseases that are shown healed in the textbook's 18th chapter. What it amounts to, isn't it, is that when we are pure enough, spiritually unselfed enough, as was Mary Baker Eddy, to let science and health speak to us as us in its unfragmented continuity and wholeness, in its four-square matrix structure, this self-revelation of what I, God, am heals us, mind and body, and therefore heals our world. As says the line from the poem The New Century, "Dear God, how great, how good thou art to heal humanity's sore heart." So as far as this particular series of tapes is concerned, let's leave it there. From preface to fruitage. It's been a wonderful journey.